May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 6. God's ways are just, his counsels wise. No darkness can prevent his eyes. No thought can fly, nor thing can move, unknown to him that sits above. Hymn number 6.
From the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, commence at verse 14. Mark 1, Commence verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. And they came into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Let us pray. Our almighty, most holy, eternal Lord God, oh, how we would now fall down this evening hour and do seek thy tremendous eternal mercy on us. Oh, that we may not be satisfied with a form of worship only and a custom. And, oh, save us from that great deceit of drawing near with our lips and our heart being far from thee. For we have known these awful things so many times, but in thy infinite, deep, full compassion, thou hast in mercy brought us right down so many times to need thee. And we would worship this grace that brings our wandering spirits back unto him whom our soul loveth. Will we bow before thee, great God of heaven, eternal Father, blessed, glorious Son, and the Holy, Holy Ghost. Oh, we do seek to worship thee this evening, looking alone to the glory of thy provision, even the exalted Lamb of God, God's Lamb, God's Lamb, God's Lamb, God's Lamb. Oh, we would stand in awe. Thou hast provided the Lamb, as Abraham said to Isaac, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. And thou didst show him more than just the ram. Abraham saw my day. He saw it and was glad. Oh, that we might see thy day in our short little life. So we come to worship the King of Heaven as poor, needy sinners. And what a provision. Oh, what an answer for all our needs, thy precious sin atoning blood. Ah, but we do want the living waters. Ah, Lord, those that came when thou wast on earth were never sent away. But how seriously are we coming? This is the great tribulation and exercise of our soul. Our Lord, it is not, thou art not wrong. How we do pray, do send us not empty from thy throne away. Even a little word to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. And we are hungry souls. May we hear what God the Lord will speak. For the psalmist says he will speak peace unto his people. But he adds, oh, let them not return again to folly. We come before thee as poor and needy sinners, empty. And thou knowest exactly how we are. Lord, it's not before men we come. It is before thee. Thou knowest every case in this chapel. And thou knowest thy will in all their lives. Thou hast thine appointed times and seasons for the church and for those pilgrims in Zion. And, O Lord, we come as a poor trembling worm. Or may we know those seasons and those appointed times when thou wilt draw us and sweetly touch us in mercy. Or thou knowest the any desperate case now. Thou knowest the complacencies. Thou knowest the laziness, the inertia. But Lord, thou knowest the groans, the cries, the agonies of soul. Thou knowest also the anxious worries of those in outward trouble. Things they cannot manage, cannot understand. Rivers of sorrow in their life. May each of us be given that grace to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. And may we truly be enabled to cast our burden on the Lord, to cast our care on thee, and truly to commit our way, but trust also in thee, that thou wilt bring it to pass. Also we would this evening hour desire to receive that blessing from heaven of eternal love and eternal life. As we read this morning of thee, O Holy Ghost, the wind bloweth where it listeth. O Lord, we feel the effects but cannot see it. We can see the direction from where it is come and whither it goeth, but we cannot command it. O Lord, let us feel. O Holy Spirit, come. Let us feel our hearts warmed and burned within us at thy goodness to us. Leave us not to cast away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. But you've need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Oh, that thou wouldst make thyself first, make thyself room, for it will be very solemn if thou dost not make room in my heart. Increasingly do so, Lord. Undertake for us what a pardon I feel to need.
What a pardon! Oh, depths of mercy can there be? Can there be, Lord, mercy for such wretches as we are? Can my God, his wrath, spare? And may I bow before thee, the chief of sinners. How we plead that grace that is with thee. Lord, a forgiveness, a reviving, a blessing. Lord, we have a worry. Thou hast been so good and so kind. And we have been so thankful and have worshipped thee. But, oh dear, Lord, how quickly we've wandered off and shown thee our back. Oh, we have that deep anxiety. Oh, we dread to wander anymore. Oh, keep us in thy fear. Keep me humble. Keep me exercised. Keep me needy. Keep me tender. Oh, have compassion. Oh, come and have compassion on us. And bless us. And Lord, forsake us not. Thou hast not forsaken, Lord. It is a wonder, and thou couldest have done. So we would worship the King now in the beauty of the Son, in the Spirit of grace. Remember this house of prayer. Bless the dear deacons. Be with them and their families and all that pertain unto them, their burdens, cares. The church, the congregation, the households, the families, the lonely ones, everyone apart. Thou knowest every case, every need. Remember those in senior years. We do pray thee do visit them, increasing years. Remember all in middle life and the heat of the day. Help them to truly know thee. Order their footsteps. Draw them. Bless them. And again. Remember our young people going forth in life. We pray for their prosperity and blessing. And the families and so forth provide. We humbly ask for those in younger years who may feel a little isolated and lonely. We do plead with thee to hear prayer and open thine hand and provide for them in all things. Bring each to fear thy name, to hear thy voice, to know thee, to put thee first and to put thee on. Remember the dear children, the sweet babes, may they be heirs of glory. Bless the Sunday school, encourage the teachers. Remember all in affliction, pain, suffering. As we understand some in affliction, we pray for thy healing hand to be known. Those restoring mercies, and the ongoing afflictions and concerns, lay upon a number of brethren, or stay the plague and strengthen. Lord, so our request is, show thyself unto us, draw us, increase my faith, increase my love. God, be merciful to me, pardon, put away, shine. Remember Zion, bless thy servants on the walls of Zion. Thy servants expected in the coming week and those that come from week to week. Bless the ministry of the word here. And the editors of our magazine, seconders of our societies, bless them in their labours. Raise up thy servants. Remember those thy servants who will not preach again, laid aside, very ill. Visit them, bless them. So, Lord, we pray for Zion, the group of churches to which we are attached in love. Remember thy one church in the earth, the missionaries, where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Oh, comfort thy people where they are. Have mercy on them. Remember that young lady in New Zealand. Lord, call her by thy grace. We thank you for keeping her safely. Call her by thy grace. And as that threatened tsunami comes towards where she is, O Lord, look after her and awaken her eyes and her heart. I do beseech thee. So, God, be merciful to the families who fear thy name. Lord, save her from her awful, wretched condition. But, dear Lord, we are praying in public. Do remember thy people through the earth in distress. Bless the missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Remember us, Lord, in the nation. Have mercy on England, we humbly ask. Dear Lord, we do pray for our country. We acknowledge those mercies as have been remembered this day. Oh, may these encourage us to pray. Even up to this present time, thou hast maintained us as a country. Grant us our independence. Overthrow the evil, deep-laid schemes to overthrow the referendum. Have mercy on us, Lord. Bless our Queen, our royal house. Undertake for us on the throne when she is gone. And continue to us, lengthen out our Protestant heritage, religious liberties, civil liberties, freedom to worship. Now, Lord, we bless thee for thy mercies, thy great goodness, thy kindness, oh, abundance of supply. Oh, we would remember we would be these personal mercies. Lord, these personal mercies, We would acknowledge these personal mercies. O Lord, may they encourage us to cleave to thee, Lord, those spiritual mercies out the glory of them, thy precious blood. Oh, what will we do now? Thy precious blood to plead, while breath remains. Lord, and thy sacrifice for sin, thy dying, thy resurrection, thy victory, thy overcoming for poor, poor sinners, worthless, sinners. Oh, we acknowledge all those mercies. The doors of Zion open, thy word, the throne of grace. Now, Lord, what wait we for? Hope is in thee. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. Holy Spirit, be due. We would humble ourselves now. O Lord, help us. Plead thy name, Lord Jesus, before the throne of heaven. Come into our midst, come into our lives. We ask these things, Lord, for thy sake, thy suffering's sake, thy death. In Jesus' name we ask all these things, and for his sake. May our souls be sweetly affected with the light of our understanding enlightened, to behold the Lamb of God, to ravage our hearts, to hear thy voice, to receive thy touch. Lord Jesus, plead thy name to come. Come with the woman of Canaan. Help me, Lord, help me. And that is my prayer now. Lord, and I come with the man, with the lunatic son. Oh, and I feel to be so much like, well, I wish I was more. Lord, I believe, but don't I feel the power, the impossibility of my case, my complicated, awful heart. Oh, draw my affections. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Come with the prayer of the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, oh dear, a sinner. a sinner speaking publicly in thy name. What can I say? Oh, we look back to those blessings. We desperately need them again. We need them again, and certainly ere I die. Oh, be merciful to me, Lord. Oh, visit me, remember me, O Lord, with the favour thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. We humbly ask all things in Jesus' name for his sake. Oh, dear Jesus, come, have compassion, come. Come into our midst, our lives, our hearts. Come in this service, come in this chapel. Help me, come. Help the friends, come, come, come. Amen.
Hymn number 755. Forgiveness, 'tis a joyful sound to malefactors doomed to die. Lord, may this bliss in me be found. May I redeeming grace enjoy. Hymn 755.
a complete dependence upon the Lord. I would draw your attention to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, and verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. In dependence on the Lord for needed help. Mark chapter 1, verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. It was really the first part that brought me to the text. I had this on mind yesterday to consider for this morning hour, and then I lost the words. It's come back to me this afternoon, and I venture. And Jesus, moved with compassion. When God moves in compassion, his people receive the benefit, the blessing, the mercy. God cannot move in compassion upon his creatures without them receiving something of his love and mercy to them. Here we have a leprous man, and he has, through this compassion, healing. Here we have before us the tree of life that was kept on the east side of Eden, by the cherubims and the flaming sword, to keep the way of the tree of life, to keep it for his loved ones, his chosen ones. And we have there the healing medicines and the fruit of this tree, which his church take in their season, as described in Ezekiel and in Revelation. The glory and the fruit of the travail of his soul. But we have this man in exercise, and we would consider these things a little. We have this man in exercise, and my thoughts go immediately to the state of this man as described by David in Psalm 34. This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. We have before us leprosy, very, very descriptive of our sinnership. Some leprosies, I'm no expert on this, but according as I understand, some were oozing sores, others were dry crusts, and no doubt probably the same disease going from different stages. Also, the understanding of mildew and leprosy in homes. I can't explain that to you because I don't know, but I tell you what I can tell you, and I can tell you about God's house, and some of you might know this to be true. You can go to some of God's, where God's people meet. You can feel a terrible bondage. Sometimes it's the minister that's in bondage. It's not the church's fault. But sometimes the minister can feel the legality
gets no liberty. Other times you can go, and she can feel Jesus is in the midst. The Lord is there. It was said of the Reverend John James Tulloch in Stornoway. I read his little account a long time ago. Something impressed me in there. It was recorded of him in his manse in Stornoway. I think he was down in Oban for a while as well, but I can't be sure. They said you could smell Christ in his home, in the manse. You could smell Christ. Do you know what I mean? So as we understand in the Old Testament, the leprosy in the house had to be cleansed. Friend, and our lives and our homes need this cleansing, this grace. Very typical of sin is this leprosy. But he comes as he is. And we see here in this the willingness of Christ. The willingness of Christ. This is something we're held in bondage against. And I mark that hymn, how willing was Jesus to die. Friend, you, what a discovery. May our soul make this discovery. How willing was Jesus to die, that we fellow sinners might live the life they could not take away. How ready was Jesus to give. They pierced his hands and his feet. His hands and his feet he resigned. The pangs of his body were great, but greater the pangs of his mind. How willing was Jesus to do. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Have you noticed? And how does it affect us? That none were turned away. None were turned away. Woe unto us. Friend, how does God's word affect us? The narrative in the scripture. None were turned away. But we read, don't we, that he fell down beseeching. Now, Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. Friend, a touch. My father used to pray for Tim and I, and we were very naughty. I won't go into the detail, but there were times when on a Lord's Day morning, we tried to, I can't say it, it's too terrible. Try and put him off his stride, as it were, in reading the Bible and Mr. Philpott's portions. I didn't like them. Oh, my poor father, but he still prayed that the Lord would touch our hearts. I shouldn't be talking about myself, I apologize, but I want to give a little illustration and encourage parents. Press on. Touch their hearts. Touch their hearts. Touch them. You know, do you know a touch? Has the Lord put his finger in? Has he put his hand in by the hole of the door? What a mercy. Sovereign grace. Sovereign grace. Almighty grace, determined grace. Friend, there's nothing like the river when it flows, is there? But you can't command the river to flow, can you? You can't command anything. You can't command the blessing. But Jesus freely lets it flow. God the Father lets it flow. And it delights him to delight and glorify his Son. That's why he sent him. And it glorifies God when his dear people are thirsting for this living river, this blessed Jesus. And he says, and he touched him and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. I will be thou clean. This is the willingness, not a refusal. I know there are some like the dear woman of Canaan. The dear Lord tried her heart. But friend, it brought out the best. Well, I wouldn't say the best out of her. We haven't got any best in us. But it brought forth the glory of the grace that was working in her. It was the glory of the grace that was working in her. Friend, if grace works in us, it's a glory. It's a glory. For we have the word before us. And Jesus, moved with compassion. And now I hinted this morning at this word because I wasn't expecting to preach from it tonight. But we must first notice leprosy. Leprosy. Friends, it's hideous. And it's life-threatening and it's terminal. And in those days there was no cure. A very solemn case. What is more, in God's order to show the awfulness of man's condition, the lepers were cut out from the worship, set apart, could not enter into any worship. They were unclean, they could not come before God as unclean. This was according to the law. But there was mercy provided for them through the priest, through the rituals. Of course, they were but rituals, but God was pleased to put forth healing. We don't read of a great many, but we read of some. But there must have been those days when those lepers were healed by the ceremonies and coming to the priests and the so forth and the cleansing and the washing. But the priest had not the power, but he prayed. He prayed. He committed it to heaven. And it was given him that grace to discern when the healing was. But the point is, they were cut out. Now, dear friends, we want the healing from our sins. O thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. All creation groans through the pregnant cause of misery. Of misery. I think God's dear people, when they hit a wall, are in trouble. I believe they cry out, Lord, is there not a cause? And often immediately they begin to see where they are and where they've been and how they are. And their poor soul falls down and realize their continuing sinnership in nature, but pleading the grace, that blood that does for sin atone, having obtained help of God thus far, and of receiving mercy thus far, and those encouragements. But of course there is an awakening. Sometimes that awakening very awful, very quick and fast. Sometimes that awakening very gentle, very tender. Our God is good. He's full of grace and truth. But are we brought to the dear Jesus as a sinner? And as I said this morning, oh friend, you can plead God's word, you know. That glorifies God. You say, my religion is so small, I know so little. But you can plead God's word. It glorifies him. I have to say to the Lord sometimes, dear Lord, thy word says, this man receive. I know I went through this morning, forgive me. This man receiveth sinners. Receiveth sinners. And eateth with them. Eateth with them. Leprosy. Now, look at this touch. But look at the man's exercise. Now we would love to look at the touch. You know, all of us here, if the Lord touched you, I can say when Jesus comes to the soul, everything is put right. There's a godly deacon at Black Boys, Alex Saunders, used to say, when the Lord departs, he takes all his baggage with him, meaning all his blessings. But when he comes, he brings it all back with him. Do you understand what I mean? When Jesus is out of view, when the Lord hides his face. Friend, you will be in trouble if you're the Lord's. You will be. And you know what that coming means, and you know about his coming. But you can't command the coming how you want the coming. But I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. The glory of the throne of grace. Groan out your petitions before the Lord. You're crying to one, you're groaning before one who's groaned himself under sin. Do you believe that? Oh, this might be revealed. That precious Christ you want. Friend, groaned under the sins of the church and felt the awfulness of the case and the Father hiding his face. Deep mysteries. Yet the Son of God, the glorious one, the eternal one. When we think of Christ and his humanity, I always must say first, he became man. Deity first, the glory first. He became man. That's our mercy. But he remains man and deity together. That's our mercy. The Holy One. Groan it out. Joseph Hart says, sue it out, spurning doubt. They're speaking of Christ's blood. The Holy Ghost, thy witness. And he is. This leper came down, and we understand in Matthew, from the mountain. He knelt down. Kneeling down, beseeching him. Now, this kneeling down speaks of reverence, friend. Reverence. He brings him down lower. You know, those that fear God will reverence him. As Joseph Hart says again, we want to be delivered from familiar. Luscious names, familiar something or other. I've lost it. Familiar freedom, luscious names. Many people can tell you about the Lord Jesus. But when Christ visits the soul and when he's you and you live in exercise, you will be down on your knees. It will be humble you. When the Lord visited, when Gabriel visited Mary, look at her humility. Look when he blessed Daniel. Look at him falling down. Look at dear Abraham. Look at dear Jacob wrestling. And here we have this man kneeling down. Friend, acknowledging lordship, dominion. Oh, dominion, the dominion of God over your life. We need to know more of this. He is God, he is Lord. You're not your own. You're the Lord's. You're but his purchase. His purchase. Dear friend, reverence. Acknowledgement. Waiting patiently. Dear Paul, his first thing was, of course, it was such a shock to him. Who art thou, Lord? And his second question was, what wilt thou have me to do? What a different story. Paul breathing out threatenings, knew what he was going to do. He was all zeal for God. All zeal for the law. He fell down. Fell down. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The dominion of Christ, the power of Christ, Christ's glorious office of a king. Friend, would you stand up if the dear beloved queen, and she is a beloved queen, there's no question about that. I don't know anything about her soul, but she's a very wise, oh, we shall miss her terribly. God has spared her to us in mercy to us as a nation. She's been a good queen, excellent queen. But would you be familiar with her? Think of King Jesus. Oh, kneel down. Love is in his heart, compassion, but he will have you at his feet. But here we read, here we have that little boldness at the throne of grace that Paul speaks of in Hebrews, beseeching him. This is a strong expression, beseeching him. Dear friend, it is wrestling prayer. Now, what will you beseech the Lord for? Your soul, your case. But what ground will you beseech him in? What is the ground of your beseeching? That is the point. How many cry out, Lord, forgive my sins? But there must be a ground of hope in that forgiveness of sin. What is that ground, that place? It's what the dear Redeemer has done. It's what Christ has done, is what you plead. There's the secret. Blessings are withheld in Zion. And they are withheld with me as well, I can tell you. I feel it painfully. But, oh, I long to come to that ground again. That ground of hope. That solid rock ground of pleading what the Lord has done. What the Lord has done at Calvary. And for my soul, but not such in a personal way, but as, well, it is a personal matter. I don't mean it's not a personal matter. Of course it is. That's what I'm talking about. But, dear friend, what he has done before his Father, what he's done, that offering unto his Father, the offering was unto his Father for our benefit. That was the glory. It was an obedience to his Father, love to his Father, love to the church. It was unto his Father he committed himself. There's a glorious pattern there for the church to follow. He committed himself, committed his cause. Into his hand he committed his spirit. Have you got the pleading ground, beseeching on the ground of the Lord's name, Jesus' name, and what he's done? Pray on, soul, pray on, beseech him. This poor man cried. And what a poor prayer it is sometimes, isn't it? But friend, that prayer, that poor prayer, if Jesus is desired in the heart, enters heaven with a perfume that glorifies God. Beseeching him, he fell down. This man is serious. Friend, and we're serious sinners. And when you discover what a serious sinner you are, then you begin to be serious in grace and plead mercy and salvation. Do you know, dear friend, you could be like this one day, and the next day you could be dead as a dodo or a great auk. No evidence. If you went round the Arctic Circle, you wouldn't find a great hawk, even though you're looking for it. Your poor soul. All our springs are in him. But beloved friend, Mr. Frank Gosden used to say, when you get a spirit of prayer, stop what you're doing and go and pray, because if you don't, it'll leave you. I didn't understand that, but I proved it. Put the Lord first. Friend, don't resist the wind. Don't resist the wind. We sin against the Holy Ghost if we do. I speak very solemnly. You can't give yourself grace. It's not an excuse. But if you've got grace still lying in your heart, you'll cry the more earnestly, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And in evidence of that grace, you know the difference between the wind blowing in your soul and your dead still condition, and your groan with agonies, indescribable, at your dead condition. But oh, so what can you do then? You can only then plead what Jesus has done. Oh, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He cried the more vehemently, did Bartimaeus. Have mercy on me. Well, here we have the scene, the serious scene. The man's souls will be brought to serious concern. And kneeling down, and he said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And here we see the effects of grace. He sees not only a saviour, a healer, but he pleads his coming to this earth. He pleads what he has already done for others. See, that's where we read this morning. Nicodemus, he came to Jesus by night, speaking of the miracles. No man could do these miracles except he were sent of God. He came to inquire. He didn't know he was under grace as he came. He came just what you might call an inquisitiveness, to find out something. But what he didn't know was eternal love was bringing him, Friend, is eternal love bringing you to the throne of grace, to the dear Redeemer? Well, here we have a man who begins to plead what the Lord is doing, what he started to do. And do you know what the Lord has done for others? And don't you want the same blessing? It'll be different circumstances. It'll be peculiar to your soul as it was peculiar to that person's soul or that person's soul. Friend, we're all different. We've got our own case. But the compassion of the Lord, is your case an impossible case? If thou wilt, thou canst. See, here he's up against the willingness of Christ. But you know, we said in that hymn, look at the willingness, I delight to do thy will. As meditates David concerning his greater son, I delight to do thy will. Thy law is within my heart. See, grace is poured into his lips in another psalm. Grace is poured into thy lips. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. What for? To pour out. To pour out upon the beggars. The beggars in the pathway. His lost sheep. He said to the woman of Canaan, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Are you a lost sheep? Do you feel a lost sheep? Do you know what it is to groan as a lost sheep? A sheep in a ditch. And you'll perish until the good shepherd finds you. But the good shepherd knows exactly where to find you. He let you go there that he might pick you up. Your hole you'll never get out of. Oh, do you know what it is to plead the glory here? Friend, Christ has willingly sacrificed himself. If thou wilt. What is your ground? This thou wilt, I believe this man is looking out of himself and the impossibility of his case. You look at his case, who can cure him? Who can deal with you? It feels impossible until a little glimpse of Jesus is seen. And I believe here we have the movement of living faith. Faith working by grace, by the Holy Ghost. If thou wilt, thou canst. Thou canst, thou canst. He's up against the willingness of God. You see, he says, he can. You can, Lord. You can heal me. Is anything too hard for... These are lovely. We can quote lovely texts from a pulpit or a rostrum. It matters not which. We can quote a lovely text in conversation on the phone. But, beloved friend, where's the honey in it? Is the honey... Are you sucking the honey? The honey of the gospel. Friend, the sweet wine of the kingdom. If thou wilt, thou canst. Thou canst. Living faith. Friend, you believe it? When you look at yourself, you can't, can you? Oh, dear Redeemer, do shine. Oh, give me a little glimpse, your heart cries. Little glimpse of thyself in the lattice of the gospel. Oh, give me a passing view of Jesus in my place. Oh, whatever. Oh, look upon me, Lord. Look upon me as thou looked upon Peter. Look upon me, Lord. Oh, I'm a denier, I'm a denier, I'm a denier. Look upon me. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Here we have the tree of life, as I said earlier. We have in Ezekiel that beautiful description of the living waters. And we have there the fruit for meat or food, as it says. Friend, and the leaves for the healing, or as in Revelation it speaks of the healing of the nations, but here it speaks of the medicine. This is a glory. And the fruit, of course, dear friend, is a sacrifice, I said, for his people to feed on. I am the bread of life. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. This is true. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. I know the Lord seriously said, except. And it's true, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. You've got no life, you can't have it. Eternal life has got to become from the feeding and the drinking. This is the fruits of that trees, those trees, and that tree of life in Revelation. And the leaves for the medicine, the healing, not your own leaves, not Adam's leaves or Eve's leaves, but what God has provided. Medicine. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Look at the Mara. They came to Mara, the first place they came to. After the Red Sea. And the water was bitter. Friend, you've got those bitter waters. But that glorious tree, now we don't know what the tree was, but it was sanctified to Moses' heart to see Jesus. It wasn't the tree of life, literally. It was just a tree. But God said, I'll show you something, Moses. That tree's got to be cut down. My beloved son must be crucified. And he was put into your water to drink. And the water becomes sweet. Sweet. Oh, the healing tree, the tree of life. That true vine. Here we have the dear Lord Jesus seen here. That tree of life. Friend, and this is life-giving, and his sacrifice is life-giving. Well, the man kneels down with that deep, blessed reverence. I could speak on that river more, but time is running very quickly. You know, if the living waters touch your ankles, you'll one day be swimming. I dare not say anything else. I've got to speak the truth. If that river of water of life is only to your ankles at the moment, but you will discover it coming to your knees and in deeper need, and soon a river that could not be passed over, a river to swim in, and all the healing glories of it. Friend, I would be committing the sin unpardonable of denying what the Holy Ghost has recorded. Have you had your ankles washed? Friend, you will one day be swimming in that river, the fullness of his love, the fullness of healing. Oh, how your soul groans for it, doesn't it? You groan for it. Don't matter what the minister can tell you that, soul, you want it, don't you? Don't matter what I say. You really want that, but I say, according to God's word, let God be true, every man a liar. Friend, if that river of life has been in your ankles, you will one day, it'll be to the knees and the loins, and then the river to swim in, the river to swim in. I must get back to the Word. Jesus, move with compassion. Move with compassion. Now we have a number of references to Christ, move with compassion. Two parables come to mind, or they did. One is the Good Samaritan had compassion on him. The Good Samaritan. And the other one was the prodigal son. When his father saw him afar off, that's been a comfort to me. His father saw him afar off. Is that how you feel? You might have felt yourself near, but now you're so far. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. What's it overwhelmed with? Everything, isn't it? You get to that place where everything overwhelms you. Everything has overwhelmed you. Lead me to the rock. It's the only answer. Lord, there's no way out of this. A heavenly glance is what I want. Lord, draw me up, draw me up. My Redeemer liveth, draw me up, draw me up. The heavenly glance. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When his father saw him, when he was afar off, it reads, says Jesus, his father saw him. His father saw him. When he was afar off. And what did he do? He ran. Friend, he ran to meet him. He didn't linger. He ran to meet him. Ran to meet him. Jesus moved with compassion. We have him in compassion concerning, on those two occasions, the need of bread. And look, those few loaves and fishes. Friend, what a breaking. Friend, this is the breaking of living bread. No dimensions here, you know. No dimensions here. The glory of grace is seen. You know, on that day of Pentecost, all those thousands converted, all received gladly the word, were baptized. The same gospel, the same word. Has it affected your heart? On another occasion, concerning them having no shepherd, sheep without a shepherd. And he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest. He will send laborers into the harvest. He had compassion on the multitude. Another instance is that lonely lady, that widow of Nain, her only son. Lord, thou hast taken everything from me. I wonder what her thoughts were. No wonder she was weeping. Christ weeping at this woman, this lonely lady, a widow, her only son dead. Friend, this is the compassion of God on the poor woman in a terrible, none can help her. They're following the buyer, none can help her. They might sympathize, no one can help. Oh, when Jesus saw her, he was moved with compassion. He had compassion on her, and he touched the buyer, and her son sat up and so forth. Friend, this is eternal life. This is compassion. Oh, compassionate our case, you might sing. But you know, when you need that hymn, friend, you'll be in a groaning place. Because compassion speaks of the lowness of where his people are. But here we have him moved with compassion. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand. Friend, that right hand of power, that right hand of righteousness. The hand of the Redeemer of God, the Son of God, friend, has a great blessing in it. When you love that word, no doubt, fry the Lord thy God, oh, it's a blessed word. Or may it speak to someone this evening. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, fear not, I will help thee. Oh, dear Lord, don't you want a word? You want the Lord to speak today. May he speak it to my heart again. He has before, but you need it again. But what I was going to say was, what a hand, what do you see? Friend, it's a wounded hand. It's a wounded hand. It's a wounded hand. Friend, that hand of love, something for you to plead. When the Lord holds you with his right hand, it speaks of the covenant hand, the covenant side, the side on which the sheep are. Friend, the hand of God that touches, it's a wounded hand. It's a hand with a hole in, but it lives, it lives, it lives, it lives. Thomas didn't have to put his fingers in the prints of the nails. He didn't have to do it. He saw him and believed. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand. Put forth his hand. This is the arm of the Lord. Friend, and it comes from his mouth. It comes from his heart. It comes from the eternal counsel. It comes from God. Moved with compassion, put forth his hand and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. I want to come to this cleaning, this cleansing. What is this cleansing? The water, which is the water of life, cleanses. The water of the life, in one sense, is the gospel word, the living streams of the gospel that make glad the city of God. But the water from Christ, from his riven side, which flowed, the blood for atonement. Of course, it's got its virtue of cleansing and so forth, but the water for the cleansing. But of course, that water is also the water of life, and it's the blood of life, because the blood, the life is in the blood, as is declared in God's law. So here we see a beautiful, glorious description of the cleansing. And we have this, and in this text, I will, and Jesus spoke the word in the touch as well, be thou clean, be thou clean. With the word of a king there is power. Now, dear friend, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. But here we see, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. This is the healing touch. Or that we might know that hand put forth and the cleansing of it. Dear friend, the living water of the gospel, the blood of the everlasting covenant. I said this morning, the fact of being the wrath, the sword passing over, and the blood of the paschal lamb seen. I will, says Jesus, be thou clean. So here we have the scene, the beseeching, the kneeling, and then the awfulness of the case. Now what is the point tonight? Are we being brought to the Lord again, afresh, for the first time, for renewing? Friend, what sort of ground do you come on then when you want a renewing and a revival? It's the same ground as you ever went. The same mercy. Yes, there's knowledge that the Lord blessed you, but it may not cheer your heart to think so because you feel you've defiled yourself again. Look at poor Peter. Look at poor Peter. Look at poor David in distress. Yes, they could plead what the Lord has done and said. And that was Peter's only hope. But he was so ashamed. So ashamed. The same mercy, the same grace. And in our day we have to plead that sin atoning blood and that living water for the healing mercy of the stream, healing our soul, cleansing, cleansing. A new heart will I give you. Friend, it is, cleanse thou me from secret faults, do you pray? Secret faults. They've got to be accounted for. Anger and hate's got to be accounted for. Anger with God, God has got to be accounted for. Oh, the healing mercy. Dear friend, an exalted Redeemer. The willingness of Jesus to die. The healing of the leprosy in our soul. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, it says, dear Redeemer, I will draw all men unto me. Draw all men. Well, are we drawn as this man is drawn to the dear Lord? When you are serious, you will be. Why are we, friend, we've settled down. I feel much my formality. Settled down in a cozy religion. We all understand grace, don't we? We all understand grace. We all know what it's all about. We all know about the emotions. We want the Lord to speak. If you're a living soul, you'll be desperate. You'll be real. And I believe your soul will be drawn to Christ. If you're a living soul, you will be drawn. How serious it all is. Give me Christ or else I die. The very thought of death is moving on apace toward us. And none of us can say how when or how soon. Oh, dear Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Is that your cry? Is that your daily cry? Search the scriptures, friend, for in them is the dear Redeemer seen. Live at his feet. But may your soul be endued with this living faith of this man to see the willingness and that he can. What we want here is our heart to be affected by an understanding of the glory and the grace of God in his Son, why he sent him. That will draw us. That will draw us. I believe this man was drawn. He was drawn to the dear Redeemer in a pitiful case. He had an understanding of sight of the glory of God here in the gospel in his only begotten Son. He saw mercy with him. Mercy to suit your heart, your case. Friend, your case is not beyond mercy. It's not beyond mercy. It's not beyond recovery. Ah, you might think it is. But if you're still left to breathe out cries to God in prayer, it's not beyond mercy. May your hearts be affected by the Holy Ghost to see the dear Redeemer by faith, to know that he can and will heal us. Heal us, Emmanuel, here we are, waiting to feel thy touch, deep wounded. That's painful, isn't it? A man that's got deep wounds is in a serious dying condition. You think of the groans of the war wounds of the men in the accounts you might have read years ago. Hear the groanings. I heard a man groaning in a car. It's a hideous, an awful thing. I think there's something seriously wrong with him. It's going back to the 1960s where no seatbelts in those days. It was before they were introduced, before Barbara Castle introduced them. They hit a telegraph pole. Four lads been out drinking. An old Vauxhall Wyvern. And one was seriously cut. The driver was all right. Another one was quite seriously injured with his leg. But one was trapped inside groaning. It was an awful sight to hear. Here it was awful. Oh, dear friend, these things frighten us. Well, I'm not trying to be emotional to frighten us, but oh, lost eternity. The groaning of the prisoner. The groaning of the prisoner. God hears the groaning of the prisoner. Jesus has, behold a scene of matchless grace, 'tis Jesus in the sinner's place, the groaning of the prisoner. Christ was taken with wicked hands and crucified. He stood there as a prisoner, unable to escape. Friend, he could have escaped. They said to him, come down from the cross. If thou be the Christ, you come down. No, he could not come. He would not come down. He would not come down. He loved his Father. Oh, the glory. Oh, how he willingly suffered for his Father's glory and sake to redeem his Father's people. Friend, what a glory here. Oh, the beauty of Christ, the beauty of Christ. Oh, so what we want to see is the dear Redeemer in our understanding in our heart, so willing to die, so willing to cleanse. Ah, friend, these things are facts. And we want those facts to plead now. We want realities, don't we? If you're living sorry, you want realities. You can't feed on the theory. Give me Christ or else I die. But he hears the groaning of the prisoner. He himself has been in the prison place. But oh, and he didn't escape death. He didn't try to escape death. He laid down his life himself. No one could take it from him. Oh, what grace, what grace. And we're poor dying worms. That dying thief, what did he say? We justly suffer for our sin. Look, this man done nothing amiss. Behold him. Behold him. He's done nothing amiss. We'll have to leave the word. Oh, dear Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Touch me, Lord. Touch me with realities. Touch me with a serious exercise of soul. Before I close, I just wanted to refer to a portion I had marked here. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He passes it by. Passes it by. We know why. When I see the blood. Are you pleading that blood? His blood, I mean. He retaineth not his anger forever. Why? Because he delighteth in mercy. God's delight. He delighteth in mercy. May that enter our hearts. Or that we could take it home and feed on it tomorrow. He delighteth in mercy. He will see the positive blessing here of the truth of God. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform thy truth to Jacob and thy mercy and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Why I read it was this: he will turn again. He will have compassion. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean.
Collections last Lord's Day were £805, and on Tuesday evening for the Trinitarian Bible Society, £1,640, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pickett will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Timothy Rosier next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 711. Amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray, and let me taste thy special grace, and run to Christ, my hiding place. Hymn 711.
may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.